Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Conscious Thought with Leo on BBS Radio Talk Show, and I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. Well, thank you for folks for tuning in, and tonight it will be very exciting because I have somebody who is actually working with the power of the voice. But before I bring her in, I just wanted to let everybody know, if you have any question for me or Kara, please call us in at 1-888-627-6008. Again, 1-888-627-6008. Okay, well, let me bring Kara in. And before I bring her in, just give you a little info who she is. She's a very well-known visionary, singer, songwriter, and also mentor to voices changing our world. So welcome, Kara from Berlin.
Hi, everybody. It's so wonderful to be here. Hello. What can I say? This is exciting to share with you all the facets. And there are so many facets of voice and vibration because it's really the fabric of our universe and it's sitting inside each and every one of our bodies, basically. So it's a gift that we all have. And I think it's a mystery that many, many people do not understand. So I'd love if anybody would have questions out there to have them call in, and I'd love to share with you and answer any of those questions that we have tonight. So what are your questions, Magdalena?
That is so awesome. Well, you know, I love when you are saying that the driving force behind every project and new creation is a human voice.
It is.
And see, it this is the reason. And Kara, this is why I wanted to actually focus, because you have such a huge repertoire and it's impossible to bring in 1 hour. And this is what I was looking for, if you could concentrate on the human voice. And I would love to know more about the voice vortexes and the energies. And we can talk more about your new releases, training. And then most important, what I'm so excited to hear from you is that how important is your voice work in the world peace and the other themes that are present in our human time right now. So I would actually like with your own story. I know you are actually from Wisconsin. Wisconsin.
Yes.
I just found
yes.
out. But I couldn't find out when you moved to Berlin.
Well, you know, I have a kind of exciting story. I was born in St. Louis, Missouri, and then I landed when I was very young. I was about a year and a half in the city of Berlin, and then I lived in Berlin until about 6, and then came back to the States, grew up in Wisconsin, grew up in the Midwest, and then when I was 20, I moved back to Berlin. And I find this, for me, it's a very interesting journey, because not only do I have the rich landscapes of the Midwest and the bluffs mm-hmm. and the rivers and the fields, which feeds a lot my poetry and my writing, the nature. And this is very strong. Of course, it's also my mother tongue. So English is my mother tongue. At the same time, I was in Europe at the time before the Berlin Wall fell, and also at the time when the wall fell. And Berlin is a very strong city of transformation. So anybody who's ever been here understands.
I've been there in 1988. I was there in 1988.
Well, we were there at the same time, right?
You're kidding me.
So
and you know what
our
I
paths
was thinking?
Probably crossed. If I would see your eyes right this moment, I would probably
you know what I was also
you.
Thinking? Well, you know what
yes.
I was thinking also, Kara, is that maybe, you know, you work maybe participated for that in that action.
Well, you know, it's very bizarre, but I felt, and I remember my mother was visiting from the States, and I said to her, Mom, the wall's going to fall. And it was my intuition. And she said, Kara Johnstedt, this is never, ever going to happen. You are, you know, people, because
I'm
very,
getting chills.
I believe in things. 2 days later, the wall fell. I mean, 2 days later, the people were streaming through into West Berlin. 2 days later,
that was just an amazing experience.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience. And it shifted my work and it shifted my life, because it made me realize, and I think you can only live from that place if you've experienced these kinds of things in your life. Because when the wall fell, we did not have violence. We did not have a civil war. So this made me realize as as a seeker and as a, you know, as a mystic, as somebody who believes in, as a dreamer, I would say, what people call dreamers, right? So I don't think we're dreamers, to 100% believe that world peace is going to happen now, right? I personally believe that we are getting ready for a global awakening, which is very, very tangible. And at the same time, other people might just see the horrendous violence and corruption and ugliness of our world. Once you've seen things like the wall falling, where there was no violence, where there are people streaming, you know, across borders, which we also saw.
People reached a critical mass, Cara, you think?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's and what's exciting is with the wall falling, people not only met that critical mass, but like I said, the response to that critical mass, where it could have been very easily, which we see in other parts of our world, revolution in a violent way. I mean, it wasn't. It was very peaceful and it was very empowering. And we see a country also that has grown together and learned from each other, and that is really thriving. And it's a country that's constantly had to rebuild itself from the ashes. I mean, if we see what Berlin looked like 50, 60, 70 years ago, we had the First World War, the Second World War. I mean, it's a constant phoenix moment happening in many, many parts of our world. And it gave me hope. I think it really gave me hope.
You are in such a powerful place there.
Yes. Yes, it's in the middle of Europe, and it's in a very strong place. I think I just heard my dog is snoring. Can you hear it on the radio? Otherwise, I'll have to wake him up and
take him out.
No,
that's fine.
If so, if anybody hears very odd sounds, it's not me. It's actually my very big golden retriever who's, it's 2 a.m. here, and so he's somehow
That's okay,
in
listen,
dream.
We are live, we are authentic, so don't worry. We are all humans.
fantastic. Yeah, and so that's my story, and I think that also it was and it still is fascinating to have. I don't really feel American, as far as, you know, I've lived out of the States for more than half of my life, you know, so my mother tongue is English, but I have many different ways of seeing things than the typical American. At the same time, I'm not, you know, German, so I'm this global citizen.
We are becoming a global citizen. This is exactly how I feel myself. Cara.
Right.
You know, speaking four half languages, and you know, living in Europe, living here, it doesn't matter anymore. What really matters is the experience, what we are experiencing it.
Yeah, exactly. And also this idea of when we have many different cultures and many different experiences, of course, we can see things with new and fresh eyes whenever we go into places. So it helped me a lot also to look at my own conditionings and I had a different perspective when I was in Europe. About my upbringing in America than I would have had if I would have stayed in America the whole time. So, you know,
it gave you maybe a different aspect of growing.
Yes, exactly.
Spiritual growing, because this is how I am looking my own journey, you know, living in former Yugoslavia, living in Germany, and living right now in U.S., you know, and people are also asking, well, what part, who are you? I said, there's no parts anymore. It's just journey.
It's just journey. That's right. And now we come back to the voice, because the interesting thing is sometimes when we land in another country and we don't have necessarily the fluency of the language that we need in the beginning to really partake in deeper conversations, then
that is
other
so
frequencies also awaken. And I remember, you know, I feel sometimes like I had to move to be able to find my own voice, to be able to really find my unique frequency. And sometimes also when traveling, everybody who's traveled knows this, suddenly we're communicating, you know, with our hands, but also with a frequency, and everyone's understanding us. And until we, you know, are finely tuned with perfect grammar, so to say, so to speak, we do have an ability to harmonize and to communicate, which transcends, which transcends maybe what we would have normally chosen if we were writing that language. So a part of my journey whenever I'm traveling is to be beyond language in a way. So this has a lot to do with voice, because I'm also, besides being a voice specialist, I'm also a singer-songwriter. And in that role, I had to be able to tune into my own rhythms, my own colors, my own imagery, and my own melodies. And that comes often when we're in new surroundings, these forces, you know, are really differently awakened, right?
Exactly. You know, I always call it, look, like the universe is playing the music with us. Mm-hmm. You know, you're becoming practically an orchestra. I mean, you're becoming an instrument in this, you know, universal orchestra. You're playing. Right. You are being played by the universe, but also you're giving feedback through your alignment. So, right. What happened actually 2009 that changed when you got to your spiritual awakening? What happened?
Well, you know, I had had many moments of what some would say samadhi, right? How to explain it, where you feel that your energy field is
something is shifting.
Absolutely expansive, where I remember standing one time I was in Holland, and suddenly, you know, the sea and the sky just melted into one. There were moments where you know that there's no death, right? You know that it's impossible to die. But in 2009, what happened there is that I was in a very, you know, a very, very strong place of change. I had, I had to move one apartment. I was alone with my daughter. I was doing a lot of traveling. I had about five projects I had a very, very good, beautiful jazz project, which I had flown into Paris to meet Michel Legrand, who's a great composer, and I was going I was working at the university, so I was living on one hand the strong seeker, and on the other hand trying, of course, to keep my feet in this world and do the normal projects, right? And
Superwoman,
the jazz singer, and I was producing a big band project, and I was doing all this balancing, and I started really having these strong vortex experiences, you know, hearing voices and really energetically clearing not only a lot of things, but also downloading a huge amount of information very fast. And basically what happened for me, 2009 and then 2011, I was still trying to, you know, balance old world, new world, all this stuff. And then mm-hmm. I just made a cut basically and said, which was for me very important on my path as a composer, because I had always done original work. But at the same time, I had tried to, I think it was an old pattern of, you know, well, to survive, I might also have to sing the works of many composers. Not that I don't like those composers, but I hadn't 100% only focused on my own compositions. They had always been part of the journey, but not 100% mine.
Okay.
And so in 2009, you know, yet another, you know, not only awakening, but a nonstop vortex moment, I realized that the gift that all of these composers were giving me that I wasn't seeing was basically, you know, a Zen stick and to hit me on the head. For example, in the case of Michel Legrand, he was only doing his work, right? I was going to sing his work, but he was very clear about who he was. And I was working at that time with the percussionist from Sting, and I was looking at Sting, although he does, you know, some other songs too, but I was like, well, he's doing his work and they're doing their work. And I'm actually not doing 100% my work. And so in that moment, I dropped every single jazz standard, every single classical aria, every single, and I just dedicated the rest of my next, I mean, if I'm alive that long, I don't know, but let's say the next 50 years only to the voices that I hear directly and only to my own melodies and my own words.
Vibration
and
frequency.
I think it's only to my, you know, true authentic voice, I would say. And it was, for me, that was a very big change. And it was also very scary in some ways because I had a very successful and excellent and, you know, well-known band and musicians and everything. And I stripped it down and I went back to the piano and I dared to just sit at the piano and to sing and be, you know, write poetry. And my next album that's coming out entitled Moon and Capricorn was a very big jump because I started
working.
This
is so sweet, Kara. The reason why, because when you're talking about 2009, actually the Pluto went into Capricorn.
Really? You see? I didn't know that. I didn't know that, but Capricorn was like, I mean, 2009, it was all about Capricorn, amazing
yes,
enough.
That's exactly, went in Capricorn, it just looked like old structure, breaking down all of it.
Yeah, and I was breaking down with it and refinding myself and redefining myself. I was having, I guess, a Pluto moment, right?
A Pluto moment, yes.
Yeah, and when I started working with this amazing, amazing arranger, and he's also a composer in his own right, Fabrizio Piliucci, and I gave him my, I was working purely with piano and voice, and then I said, no, I'm going to work on the next album, and he said, well, what do you want? And I actually said, well, this is what I want. And it was a symphonic album. I mean, I must have been nuts. You know, I think I am still crazy. So I literally started producing with orchestra, right? Which is totally crazy as an independent artist to work with symphonic orchestra. And amazing to watch it all come together. And so on the next album that's coming up, again, it breaks all ideas of what is possible because I opened the album with a purely instrumental track. So most singer-songwriters would have their 12 little songs with their singing and writing. But again, I received a melody and there were no words, right? The melody was beyond words. I mean, it would have been a lie to try to write words because the melody was so gorgeous that the words would have distracted from the melody.
Yeah.
And so we opened this album with this pure melody. And then I go on a big journey and we have on the album the person that I am. So we have you hear classic and you hear jazz and you hear new age and you hear world music and you hear pop and you know, again, where is it going to fit? On a marketing standpoint, we are nuts, right? But it's my journey and it's the path.
Exactly.
And then I also have, which I was doing a lot of that time, spoken word. And so I also dared to start to speak again the words that were more like chants and that were like, that were coming through in a very rhythmic talking pattern. So it's a very interesting kind of songwriting because, again, we are mixing constantly different genres. In the end, I mean, it'll be released now in January, but the great thing is, luckily, it seems very organic because I was very truthful to the process of what the voices in my head and what the voice wanted to express. And here we come back to voice because it's been my journey when I've worked with singers and then when I've worked with myself or when I've accompanied myself on this journey to realize that the first level often is being able to write the truth and then to speak the truth. That's already for many people a very, very big step.
A huge step.
But to be able to sing your truth, I mean, really your words, your truth, this is where a lot of big transformation happens for my clients because if we look, a lot of the the big voices in our world that we respect and love, like Streisand or Celine Dion or maybe Whitney Houston when she was young, these mm-hmm. big power voices, they were not writing their own material. And when we look at the truth tellers, the Bob Dylans and the Joni Mitchells and, you know, the Tom Waits, maybe the poets, the singing poets, what we call in songwriting the singing poets, they normally had very constricted and very closed voices. And my work as a healer is to realize that the not only is the throat a portal, but it's also there to give us signals and to feel safe and for protection. And so a lot of times when we're speaking our truth and writing so close to the marrow, we tend to hold the throat for protection, basically. So that means that the protection of the big voices is through singing somebody else's work, and the protection through the people when they come so close to truth, Leonard Cohen, for example, then their voices are very, you know, low, scratchy, very small range. And what I've done with my work is I've dared myself and also dared my clients to open the portal, to stand in the full spectrum of frequency and speak the words of truth and sing the words of truth at the same time. So there's no hiding. You know, if you want to work with me, it's a journey mm-hmm. of absolute presence, of full frequency.
But also
and
you're opening
no
up
hiding.
Yourself to the huge creativity.
Uh-huh. Mm. I just had a nice sip of coffee. Yes. Yeah. It's an amazing, never-ending creative field of abundance that happens when we open this portal. And so much of it is held back, or it's like you can think of it almost like a bottle with a small, with a narrow, I mean, if you look at the neck, it looks more narrow. And what I've been able to do is discover how to isolate the muscles inside the throat so that we can free up that energy and we can really expand the inside of the throat so that the vortex energies can open up again and free flowly. Yeah. Yeah. No, flowly free. Free flowly.
Listen, I understand it.
Free flowly. That doesn't sound right.
Flow freely. It doesn't matter. Voice.
Free, flow freely. Free flowly. Oh, that's the beauty of language. I found myself on my journey. In 2009, starting in that place, I started to work, to hear so much in sound that, you know, when you're working in different languages at the same time, you suddenly hear, you hear things only in sound bites. Like
that is so amazing, Kara, because that's exactly how I feel. Because, you know, speaking these four half languages,
right.
You know, I'm constantly simultaneously listening to all the languages. And right. I can tell you, if I'm listening to somebody and it just, you know, something it stops, I said, okay, can you actually go back and tell me what you truly mean with that?
Right.
Because one of my languages pick up the crack. Something is not okay.
Right. Yeah.
That's and fascinating.
And I hear like words differently. So when we were talking about, for example, the word universe, suddenly everyone's been saying universe forever. And I'm just hearing suddenly unified verse, right? That the universe is language. I mean, we talked before at the beginning of the show, the universe is a you know, it's musical and has rhythm.
A symphony.
But mm-hmm. when we're studying about the universe at school, we don't see the word verse, which is vasa, which is lyric, right? Inside mm-hmm. the word. Or when we see the word, like I play a lot with the word atone, meaning at one. So the tone itself will always bring us into the power of now. If you have a full, beautiful, balanced tone, your present moment will always be full, beautiful, and balanced. Because the tone is also, it transcends time and space. I mean, that's the fascinating thing about voice is that it can, it can project into the future. It can relive and carry memories from the past into the now. It's anti-gravitational, so it uplifts you, right? But we don't often, in the words themselves, you see in the word a tone, you see at one. It's like you see in the words alone, all one. I mean, maybe that's me playing with sound, but I'm always hearing words within words.
Something else.
Yeah, I'm always hearing, I don't know, maybe I'm going insane. I have no idea.
No.
But
I
hear frequencies differently. I hear language, you know, almost like the original languages coming in to what we take for granted all the time.
I think you're tapping more into the essence.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
At least this is what I'm feeling it. That, you know, when you start to feel, you know, even on that deeper level, you are actually understanding on a much deeper level than the majority of the people, you know, when we are talking about or actually even listening to the songs or to the lyrics.
Well, and I think that with my work, you know, with my own journey and also the work, the healing work that I do with so many people, the amazing thing is what, and I'll give you this secret today. And
we love secrets.
You love secrets. So this is a huge secret, okay? And this is one of my biggest secrets that brought me into different places and tapped me into different frequencies is that our voice is a bidirectional instrument, and just like breath goes in and out, we can also tune our systems with frequency on the inhalation and the exhalation. And this is something that very few people don't understand, that your body has the ability not only to heal with frequency and when we exhale, but also with the inhalation, you're able to regenerate your voice with inhalation, with tone, right? Intonation to tone while you're breathing in, which is the opposite than many people do. And it's a technique that I use a lot. And
listen,
this is
Kara,
phenomenal, because you will never, ever, ever, ever lose your voice ever, ever, ever again. Number one, you shouldn't. But, you know, these are your body is made actually to heal and to be whole. It's made like that.
Yes. I'm in health and wellness myself for 20 years. And yes, I totally understand you. This is why I wanted to hear more about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, beautiful.
And also, let me ask you a question. Is this your own personal experience or did you learn about that?
No, this is my personal experience. I think the first time I tapped into it, I was doing some work with the Sufis, right? And they have a method, this kind of... you know, which I'm sounding very strange, but that's like on the inhale, this, you know, we were doing Allahu, Allahu, and doing this, you know, backwards.
Uh-huh.
And the woman who was doing this was very playful and very fun, and she was even doing it sometimes, this kind of backward sucking, you know, vacuum motion with peanut butter. You know, she was saying peanut butter, you know, this kind of thing. She was very playful. And I was thinking, oh, this is like really stupid. I mean, I was being trained in classical arias. I'm like, oh my God, like, what am I doing here?
What am I doing?
I mean, within an hour, my voice was so open, right? And so I went home and I had one of my very first strong energy experiences. And so I went home and started I received that information and I started doing it to sing tones on the inhalation instead of the exhalation. And this activated a lot of the voice. Literally, it has a sucking motion, the vocal folds. It's a ring muscle, which many people don't know or don't understand. That is meant to, before the energy spins out in tone, it's meant to lightly suck and pull downwards and pull inwards. And this is why it's so dangerous to work with too much breath and too much pressure with the voice, because you need that, just like a vortex, you need that pull in the middle of your body when you receive information, but also when you receive tones. You need the center of the tone to be a pulling depression. And this is actually very easy with these kinds of exercises to awaken. It's just a muscle that we have lost touch with because we have so much stress and a false understanding of what the voice needs. And so what excites me and what thrills me is with only a very few muscle isolations, you can return to that place of freedom that you had, that everybody had as a child, where we were channels. I mean, it's not that we didn't have that. We all arrived as pure channels. When we heard music, we started dancing. We started, you know, we were connected with our emotions. We were connected with our heart. And it's all there. And it's not difficult. And I think that's my vision now. Also, because you talked about world peace, right? The mm-hmm. vision is, how can we awaken the world globally quickly? And my personal belief is, it's going to come through tone and vibration, voice. because through voice, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because, mm-hmm. you know, my job is to awaken as many voices as I can quickly, to open the channels quickly so everybody can get in an aligned place, in an aligned place with the universe, with source, and be able to receive that energy from all directions, and also be able to emit that high frequency to the world, right? So again, it's like we receive and we give constantly, and a voice can change. One voice can unite all the heartbeats in the room. I mean, I know this as a singer. I stand on stage and in front of 5,000 people, the room is one. So what if we had then 10 people working together?
Much bigger, right? Stage.
Mm-hmm. Right. But we shouldn't leave. What happened is that we sacrificed a lot of our power, or we surrendered our power to either the leaders or the politicians, or even the singers and the performers. And we forgot that we all have that power within to transform ourselves and the world.
Mm-hmm. That's the shift, Cara. That's what we are experiencing right now, starting to awaken big time, is that people are finally recognizing, you know, to stand up for themselves, to align themselves instead to follow somebody else. It doesn't mean right. that you can, you know, you are isolating yourself, but, you know, into the collaboration instead into giving up power.
Right. It's co-creation is incredibly important. Exactly. Co-creation is incredibly important. Yes.
So when you're doing that, does that has to be present, or can you do this in classes on the long distance?
No, because
Because yes. my mind is running.
Your mind is running.
My mind is running because I see the power behind.
Yeah.
I hear the power behind.
Yes, I do this also online in Skype classes, privately, one-to-one. And I also am starting in October to give a webinar series and to share in bigger groups online. We are launching at Om Times, OM Times Media, a new learning platform. And I've been invited as an expert to share my knowledge of the voice. And so that will then come that
the
we do online.
Class, what
that
I will register for October?
Yeah, well, this class actually is, you know, that has to do with the mindsets. That class itself, Find Your Courage, Find Your Voice, is a class that was designed for really shifting the mindsets. I work with a lot of people who feel that often they Well, my people, it's very easy. I mean, it's very easy to know who my people are. They have very passionate hearts, and they have very brilliant minds. Those are my people. And the throat gets stuck, right? And they have so much love and so much passion, and they're so sensitive, and they're so excited, and they can't always express that because they're just big people. They just have whatever they have, it's a lot, right? They have
a lot of energy,
a lot of love for the world, a lot of energy, a lot of belief that this world is a beautiful place. So I start often with just simply giving two or three tools to move into a sacred practice of being able to step into, fully step into this space of owning the voice. So the first call that I'm giving, Find Your Courage, Find Your Voice, which is on October 2nd, mm-hmm. Which one can see when the times are on my via my homepage, which is karajohnstad.com, right? So karajohnstad.com. So on October 2nd, there's the opportunity to ask questions about the voice also. And then in the next 4 weeks, basically, a very easy way that flips fear into absolutely, this is it, this is me, I'm living my voice. So that doesn't yet have to do with the opening of the Vortex channel, which I'm setting up the courses now, which will come. But I'm also, the Vortex channel work I do one-on-one privately, and I will start, I think I'll launch at the end of the year, a series of classes which can help the people really open up the insides of their, it sounds so crazy, open up the insides of your throat, but that's what you're doing. You're basically, it's like Pilates, Pilates for the throat,
for
right?
Your throat.
learning to open and close, different muscles, and also learning false ideas of what we have about breath and how much breathing we actually need, right? So, exactly. So that's,
That is fascinating, actually, because, what I'm hearing right now, or actually tonight, is that you are practically redirecting the way people are using their throat and the voice.
I think that most people think of the voice as something that produces, that they think of it as a production. Like most people, when they do voice training, they start with breath, which I never start with. So they start with, you need breath to sing. And let's do an experiment here online just for fun. I want everybody out there to exhale all their air. So we're going to blow everything out. And then without inhaling, see if you can sing a tone, right? So I'll do it for everybody so you don't have to be embarrassed. You can do it in your privacy of your own homes. You exhale, and then you go, right? You can try it if you want. You exhale.
That was not force used.
There's no force use, and the
that's amazing.
Yeah, exactly, right. So that's why we need. This is where the vortex energy starts to awaken. So we need to realize that the fuller the tones, the less air is
you need
used. And what used to happen in the classical training, and anybody who has been to a classical, has been to an opera house will see this. What happened is that they had the understanding, and it's what I call a half-truth. They would breathe in deeply, and then they would put a whole system around with pushing down on the diaphragm and pushing out on the ribs and pushing the body into a place where the air would slow down. And through this, they would alleviate the pressure on the cords. But we also were no longer into a very natural place of being connected with the emotions, because anybody who does body work knows that when we're holding the ribs out, you know, as far as possible, we're almost in a shock pattern for breath.
A rigid stage.
Rigid, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this is a half truth. What the truth was, I need very little air underneath my vocal folds. So now if I can practice simply using very little air, meaning I can practice also singing, if I exhale all my air and then start singing, not on the inhale, or speaking, you'll have normally 100% much clearer, fuller, luscious, beautiful tones. And then I can work on inhaling on a scale from 1 to 10. Maybe I'm inhaling instead of at a big, deep breath, maybe I'm inhaling at a 3. And, you know, this is the journey. How much air do we really need? And the paradox of voice is kind of empty, full. So when I'm emptying, in a way, when I'm emptying my, you know, when I'm exhaling and emptying, I'm actually full of tone. I'm full of frequency. I'm making space for tone. And that tone has to be, number one, first aligned above my heart, and then between all our senses, which if you do a lot of body work, you know, the eyes are not in front of our, you know, well, our eyeballs are in front, but the whole nerves are running into the back of our head.
Yes.
Right? And if you know the ears, also many people think the ears are the outer ears, but the fact is that the ears are deep inside our body in the back. And the voice, if you really look at where the voice is, it's in the back of our body. And this is a shift that happens when you open the vortex energies, and they come very quickly into alignment. It's not, you know, it doesn't take years to get into this place. What takes years, I think, is to, and that depends on how willing we are to embrace the journey, is what's the thing that is more difficult is to train the artistry and the magic when I work with performers to come to that authentic place of really trusting their own melodies and their own words when we go more into visionary songwriting or transformational songwriting. But the most important thing is to get the tone to come back, really come back to be in alignment over the heart, and between the voice is between the heart and the mind, and it's also the gate between the inner and outer worlds. And most people are focused, number one, on too much breath, and number two, on pushing the voice out through the mouth. And they're just thinking mouth, mouth, mouth. But the mouth is not in alignment. If you look at your mouth right now, if you look at the tip of your nose and your lips, it is very far forward from your heart. It's very, very far forward.
Yeah. Okay, Kara, you're not a voice visionary. You are a voice magician.
I'm a voice magician.
You are a voice magician.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, and what happens is when the voice comes over that heart, like I've had it happen within one session, that suddenly when the frequency is able to come back to that, you know, to the heart, then suddenly the tones start resonating in the heart. And what happens is that people suddenly, tears come, laughter comes, a big healing comes. And then you'll ask the people, you know, sometimes, you know, they get all choked up. And then often it's really a memory of somebody, you know, some teacher, and often, unfortunately, parents, that gave a comment like, you know, you really shouldn't be singing, or you really are not hitting the tones. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And I've had people stand here, they're 60 years old, their voice opens, it's gorgeous. And, you know, within 1 hour of doing these small little shifts in alignment, and they say, yeah, I was 5 and I was standing in, let's say, a school play, and my father said, well, she has no talent. And in that moment, they stop.
Shut down.
Listening to their inner voice. Mm-hmm. And it's just phenomenal how sensitive our voice is. And that's how sensitive it is, that we're given all these other voices to, we're fed constantly through media, through books, through studying. You know, we're fed all these other voices, but we're rarely given the opportunity in our life when we're small and going through the school systems and everything to really have the time to listen to our own voice and to train our own voice and to understand our own frequency, right? And
but that, what I am feeling is that practically we are getting totally reversed, 180.
Yeah, we are. Yes. And what we're being told about the voice is simply false. I mean, that I can prove it, right? It's not that I can't prove it. I can prove it because if you see me, or if you listen to my music, or you see me on stage, you see that I sing the four octaves with absolutely no effort. I could be spinning on my, you know, on my toes. I could be dancing tango. I could be standing on my head. And we're trained often. The voice loves to live inside a free body also. It loves it. And so when you look at all the training, you know, stand straight and don't move and, you know, breathe deeply.
You'll end up
and
to
it's
reach,
all
reach
the
it,
things
yeah.
going against, and everything's going against what the voice is. Mm-hmm. The voice is alive. The voice has many, many different colors and hues. And the voice loves to play. You know, the voice loves to make animal sounds, right? The voice loves to laugh and cry. I mean, how many
people bringing joy, practically.
Bringing joy, right? Mm-hmm. And laughing is contagious, right?
Absolutely.
And if we talk about, because we tapped into this at the beginning, you know, what is the role of you know, the voice in world peace?
World peace,
not only
yes.
is it, the voice doesn't have passport control, right? The voice transcends all borders, right?
It's true. I love it,
Kara. Right? I mean, the voice is free. And my voice, I mean, look at the beauty of this interview, right? I'm sitting in Europe across the ocean. You're sitting in the States, and our voices are joined.
Yes.
I mean, our world can be joined. And the thing is that laughter is contagious. Happiness is contagious. Singing is contagious. And peace is also contagious. And we have to have the courage. And I think, you know, this is where I'm so, at times, I have to be careful not to get frustrated. Because what happens is that people, instead of feeding the laughter and keeping the vibrations, we know that laughter can heal and make the vibrations higher. I'm not saying that we shouldn't also cry and, you know, be present mm-hmm. to pain that needs to be healing. But what happens is that when the people feel, when they are stricken with fear, that instead of realizing that they have
energy.
These tools, yeah, that what happens is that you have these three very, you know, you have the fight, flee, freeze syndromes. Mm-hmm. And this is all inside our throat. Our throat has 12,000 nerves that are telling us at all times for survival, are we going to fight? Are we going to freeze? Or are we going to flee? Unless you're somebody like me who said, you know what, I don't want to be reactionary. I don't want to have somebody say, am I going to fight, freeze, or flee? I want to be in control of my presence and my body. And if I'm one with my tone, then I can choose how I want to respond. And that is the word responsibility. Responsibility comes from the word, how am I going to respond, not reaction. And so when we come into our own tone, we are able to basically, I'm looking for the word now, detach from these primal animalistic instincts, which is freeze, flee, fight, and be able to come to a space where we're present. And then we can choose.
To the higher vibrational energy.
Yeah, higher vibration. Am I going to stay present in this situation? Am I going to, maybe I will have to run. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, don't run. But it's what happens in the moment, also politically around the world, is that people are so caught in the fear that they become these victims. And what I say with voice work is that we can shift harm to harmony. We can shift violence to vibrance. We can shift we can shift the energies very quickly to, there's always an opposite, right? We can shift victim to victory. We can shift it because voice does have an anti-gravitational field that lifts us up. There's a very strong revolution that happened in Estonia because you're from Europe and you understand this. Mm-hmm. And it was called the singing revolution. People, they won their freedom through singing. They won their freedom from an oppressive government. They joined together and sang the folk songs, and nobody can take out machine guns when everybody is singing and dancing in the street, right? Yeah, and this is what my vision is, and what I would like to see is, why don't we just join together? We can begin with opening the windows every morning and singing out love, peace, and joy. We can begin by just starting courageously whenever we're walking down the street, sing. It's whistle. You know, we've forgotten how to whistle. I grew up whistling. We've forgotten. Sing. Walk, go, take your bike and sing. Whenever you have a moment of sadness, find a beautiful song, find a beautiful melody, sing, hum, sing. This is our tool. And, you know, and yes, if you want to sing more freely and more openly, then...
Well, guess what? We are preparing, actually, my daughter is here, we are preparing for Oktoberfest.
Nice.
To celebrate.
Sehr gut.
Sehr gut, yes. Oh, Kara, listen, we have only 5 more minutes left. Yes. Oh, do you mind to let our listener know, you know, how they can find you, you know, work and how about you, things, music, where they can get it, and have courses and stuff. And also, I would like to ask you about, we are seeking partnership in business that restores harmony and humanity to the planet. What you mean with that?
Oh, I didn't understand the last sentence. What I mean with, what did you say? Harmony and with the planet? I didn't understand.
Yes,
it.
Harmony and restore harmony and humanity to the planet.
Yeah, okay.
We seek partnership in business.
Yeah, partnership and business. So let me start with the basic information, how anybody out there
can
get in touch. KaraJohnstad.com is my homepage. You'll see many things there. It's easy to book sessions with me. It's easy to get in contact with me. You spell Kara, KaraJohnstad.com. There are also beautiful podcasts and articles and other interviews that you can listen to where I share my work. And if one is in Berlin or Europe, I also do trainings and classes. I'm founder of the Yoga Voice Berlin, which is a studio which works with yoga and the yoga voice fusion. So we have forest yoga classes running and also voice classes, voice empowerment classes, voice meditation, sound healing also at the studio. And and one is also more than welcome to contact me and study one-on-one in via Skype worldwide. And I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Google+. And the fact is, popping my name into the internet and one should find very easily an address where you can leave me a message. I have two new releases. One is called We Have a Choice, which is basically exactly the essence of the moment that we are in our evolutionary times, which is, you know, we have a choice to make whether we want to love each other or to live in hate. I mean, that's more or less the essence. We are now at the point, again, to say, are we going to walk out of the house singing and tuning and raising our frequency and raising the frequency of the planet? Or are we going to get lost in our, you know, reading the news and going into fear and feeding the even more pain, right? The second release I have out is called Spirit Walk, Don't Let the Ways of This World Trip Up Your Spirit Walk, and it's my first political rap, my political chant, which is new for me because, again, I received this channel. You know, we are creators, not haters, and which we are. And I think it was my very strong response watching the political scene that we have happening in the moment in America, a land that I dearly love, and a land that has so much potential and so much beauty. And I'm watching the politics in the moment, and I'm just amazed and shaking my head and really sometimes, sometimes praying and sometimes singing day and night to make sure that the people realize that we are in a very, very critical time for us to be conscious and not to go into fear and to really look behind the smoke screens of what is happening in our country before it gets taken over by, you know, corporate craziness and corruption. And it's quite an awakening that's happening. And so Spirit Walk is a political peace chant for our world. And now to, I mean, I'm looking at the clock going, ooh, yeah, here. And
I know.
Harmony, humanity. Give me your question and I will give you a fantastic answer.
Well, look, like I was reading in that, you know, on your website, you said we are seeking partnership in business that restores harmony and humanity to the planet.
Yes. Yes, it's true. I believe that every single person that we connect with and every single person we do business with is a frequency, is a vibration, and is restoring harmony. The way we lead our businesses, the way we lead our interviews, the way we lead our lives is a conscious choice. And that means that with every connection, the word project, because we say in the music business, we say, I have a new project or I have a new project, comes from projection, from light, from sound projection. And it's actually a linking. If you think that we're star material, which we are inside our body, what we're doing is we're radiating and we're connecting with other people to form a new constellation. So whenever I'm emitting an idea or a vision and I'm linking that with somebody to start a project, what we're doing is we're projecting a certain frequency into time and space, and we're going to materialize something very important with our different ideas and frequency that's coming together. And I think a lot of us don't think like that often. We just think, oh, I need a gig, or I need a job, or oh my God, I have to pay the rent, or whatever. Truth is, we are designing the way that we go on this journey, that we are living, that we're experiencing. Yeah. And I want to work because I have very little time, because I'm, you know, doing so much and producing songs and healing voices. I would like that the people that work with me realize that we are co-creating really great things. And so if you want to come and work and you're full of drama and intrigue and shit, then go somewhere else, because I only want fantastic people, right? And I get them. I really, really am surrounded by a great team and really wonderful clients and really great people. And I think that we have to all realize that if we, you know, we project things, and what we project, we will receive back. And and that's how it is. And that's one of the first places to create peace and harmony is not only within your own body and your own family structures and your, but also within your business structures. How do I want to spend my many hours doing business? In which quality can I be authentic? Can I be kind? Can I be caring? Can I be loving? Can I laugh and be funny also doing business? Yes, it is possible. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, Kara, what an amazing message tonight. I'm so happy that you were able to make it. And I thank you so much for standing up this morning that early.
Yeah.
and, you know, bring this amazing message. So I just wanted to thank you for, you know, being on the show tonight. And I very much appreciate it, and I would like to learn more about you. So, and all to you folks, you can find more information about Kara also on the, you know, website, what we put it outside, actually on the radio show, and visit Kara Johnston, her website also. Okay, well, beautiful. Kara, thank you so much and have a great morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All my love to everybody. And yeah, remember to sing and to dance and to smile while we go through yes. this journey together.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you, Kara. Right. Good night. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.